let us turn in God's Word to that passage that we read earlier, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. And the verses I want to consider with you today are verses 12 and 13 of the chapter. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 12 and 13. And we urge you, brethren, to recognize those who labor among you and are over you in the Lord and admonish you, and to esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake. Be at peace among yourselves. Later in our service, the session hopes to ordain and install two new elders. In recent months, you've heard me preach a considerable number of sermons on elders, and I do intend to address the two prospective elders later more personally. But this message from these two verses in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 focuses on how a congregation is to respond to elders. Now, it's true that these verses don't mention the word elder, but it is speaking of a specific group of people within the church at Thessalonica who perform the triple function of laboring among them, being over them in the Lord, and admonishing them. Not surprisingly, most commentators are in agreement that Paul here is speaking about office bearers, more specifically the minister or ministers and the elders. And he is giving instruction to the congregation concerning how they are to respond to them. A very similar instruction does appear in 1 Timothy chapter 5 in verse 17. Let the elders who rule well be counted worthy of double honour, especially those who labour in the word and doctrine. The instruction is very similar, and in that verse, elders are specifically mentioned, so there is no doubt that Paul is speaking about elders here in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 12. It is they who perform this triple function of labouring among the people, of being over them in the Lord and admonishing them. Now we see in these verses, as I've said, what the appropriate response should be from the congregation towards elders. And that's what we're considering today in our sermon. The Apostle Paul, with the support of his companions, Silvanus and Timothy, says, "We urge you, brethren, to recognize those who labor among you," and so on. The word urge, translated beseech in the King James Version, also a good translation, is the tone of respectful request. This is the apostle's earnest desire and plea, as well as God's word to the congregation at Thessalonica and to every congregation about how a congregation is to look upon their elders. What the appropriate response of any congregation ought to be towards its elders. In these couple of verses, we can see three different but related responses a congregation is to make towards its elders. First of all, we can see that the congregation is to appreciate the elders. The congregation is to appreciate the elders. The word translated recognize in the New King James Version that we're using comes from a Greek word that means to have regard for someone, to cherish, or to know the worth of someone. And the word that perhaps best expresses the original meaning in the English language is that word appreciate. It's to appreciate someone. Paul is telling the Thessalonians to appreciate the elders. Appreciate them as men God has chosen and appointed to be leaders in the church. Not in a kind of servile deference towards them, but in an attitude of affection towards them. Realize that they have your best interest at heart. They are men who are concerned not only about their own souls, but about the souls of others, especially the souls of all within the congregation. Paul underscores the depth of this appreciation in verse 13. He tells the Thessalonians that they are to esteem the elders very highly in love for their work's sake. God's people have different personalities and temperaments. We are not all the same. And we are all naturally drawn to a certain kind of person, probably to people we share much in common with. Maybe to people with a similar kind of personality as our own, and who have similar interests to what we have. But as we were discussing at our midweek meeting on Tuesday evening past, God calls his people to rise above all of that. And we're not to base our love for one another purely on natural characteristics, but on spiritual characteristics. Because another church member is a child of God, you are to love him or her. Because they have a relationship with Christ, as you have, united to him as you are, that means you are to love them even though they may be quite different from you in many other respects. In spite of what other great differences there may be between you and another brother or sister in Christ, there is something far greater that you have in common, and that is Christ and his gospel. And if you can't find any other subject you have in common with that person, well, that is one subject, the greatest and best subject you do have in common with them, Christ and the gospel. And there is so much to talk about in regard to that subject. Now, just as with members, so it's also the case with church leaders. Among elders in any congregation, there will be differences. Differences of personality, differences of temperament. Some elders in churches are extrovert, rarely short of a word to say, always able and ready to give an opinion, are by nature very sociable, very amiable with everyone around them. Others are more introverted by nature. They're good, diligent, faithful men, but quieter, slower to speak than maybe other elders are. There are these differences amongst all people, including amongst elders. Other elders are somewhere between these poles. Whatever the temperament and personality is of any elder, they are to be esteemed very highly. And says Paul, for their work's sake. That's what God's word says here in verse 13. All elders and all ministers have flaws. They are sinners saved by the grace of God to them in Christ, just like others. But they are working for the benefit and for the blessing of the congregation. New elders are men elected by the congregation, approved by the session, and called by God to an important task. They are spiritual overseers. They are Christ's servants, concerned for the spiritual welfare of the flock under their care. That's their work. And because of that, Scripture says they are to be recognized. They are to be appreciated, even highly esteemed, in love for their work's sake. So this is the first certain truth we see from these verses concerning the responsibility of the congregation towards its elders. The congregation is to appreciate the elders. Well, then secondly, we see from these couple of verses that the congregation is to submit to the elders. The congregation is to submit to the elders. Verse 12 continues, "And we urge you, brethren, to recognize those who labor among you and are over you in the Lord, and admonish you." The expression "are over you" implies leadership and authority. The extent of this authority is expressed by the statement "in the Lord." In other words, it's a spiritual authority which is in mind. The elder does not presume, or certainly should not presume, to have authority over any person as far as the believer's everyday decisions are concerned, such as where to live and work, and what friends they should or shouldn't have. The elder is not to abuse his authority by taking on more authority than he has been given by God. He is over the congregational members in the Lord. His concern is for their spiritual well-being. If a member should start teaching some doctrine that is error or heresy, well, that is an occasion when elders, usually along with the minister, would exercise their spiritual authority. It is their duty to do so. If a member's conduct is in some way very obviously inconsistent with their profession of faith and it's brought to the attention of an elder, that's a situation when an elder is to stand up and to exercise authority. Elders will be concerned for the souls of any in the flock who are unconverted. Elders are to be men of prayer, praying for those unconverted souls that they will come to faith in Christ. They will have a prayerful concern for the children and the young people of the congregation who haven't yet come to faith in Christ. For any here today who aren't converted, your elders and your soon-to-be elders have a genuine concern for your souls, knowing that they must give account to God for you. And it would give them such delight to know that you received Christ as your Saviour, or if you were to go to them to inquire about the way of salvation, or to go to one of them for counsel in an important decision you have to make. You're to see the elders as your spiritual counselors who are over you in the Lord. Then also in connection with this, you're to recognize that elders are in a position to admonish. They are over you in the Lord and admonish you, says Paul. There would be something wrong if an elder is often admonishing. Either something wrong with the elder or something seriously wrong with a church member or members, if that were the case. Usually, an elder does not want to have to admonish anyone. But if there's no admonishment for a sin being committed by someone in the congregation, then the sin continues to be committed. It becomes obvious to others then that sin is tolerated. There's weakness in the leadership, if it can be called leadership at all. And so more sin sets in, and before long chaos sets in. And sadly, there are churches where sin has just been allowed to fester over many months, even over years. And there's no real difference between the church and the world. That's dishonoring to God. It's disrespectful to faithful members of the church. Faithful elders are at times called to admonish where there is aggravated sin. And members who offend ought to be willing to submit to the authority of the elders. This congregation knows there have been occasions when the elders have had to admonish. And we take no delight in it, but it is part and parcel of the calling of an elder. Without leadership, without authority and submission to that authority, the devil will make sure to cause every kind of error and spiritual ruin and destruction within a congregation. But God has provided elders, and for people to submit to their authority, to keep good order and peace in the congregation. Mention of peace brings us to the third and final responsibility of the congregation towards its elders. We've seen that the congregation is to appreciate the elders, the congregation is to submit to the elders, and then thirdly we see that the congregation is to be at peace before the elders. The congregation is to be at peace before the elders. Paul at the end of verse 13, after instructing the Thessalonians about how they are to respond to the elders, says, "Be at peace among yourselves." This is what the elders should want of any congregation, that there would be peace. There was obviously a problem at Thessalonica, for in the beginning of the very next verse, verse 14, Paul says, "Now we exhort you, brethren, warn those who are unruly." There were some at the church in Thessalonica Paul describes as unruly. They needed discipline. The elders needed to get into action and to bring about calm and peace in the congregation. And this obviously made the work of the elders there difficult. Peace enables elders to do their work well. If there's some scandal or some sin being committed and the elders have to attend to it, it consumes their energy. They become exhausted, maybe even discouraged and disheartened. If they have to toil in the midst of quarrels and strife, resentment and rebellion, that puts a heavy burden upon them that's difficult for them to bear. It probably has happened in a few of the congregations of our denomination that elders and ministers have got burnt out because of some great problem that has gone on for months and has maybe gone through the higher courts of the church, all because someone or a few people in a congregation somewhere were not willing to be submissive to the elders. The result was a congregation divided and people not at peace with one another. Paul said to the Romans in Romans chapter 12 and verse 18, "If it is possible, as much as depends on you, live peaceably with all men." That obviously includes living at peace with unbelievers around us as well as with believers. In Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 3, Paul exhorts the Ephesians to endeavor to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Peace, so important for a congregation. And there in Ephesians 4 and verse 3, Paul's concerned about peace within the church at Ephesus. It's an exhortation that cannot be overemphasized. And here again, Paul emphasizes it to the Thessalonians. "Be at peace among yourselves." The devil does not want God's people to be at peace with one another. He will try to do anything to divide them. And he knows that if he can divide them, the church won't be an effective witness in the community. The last thing the devil wants is for elders to be planning about how they can get their congregation motivated to evangelism and mission. And one of his tactics is to prevent them from doing that, to distract them from it, by causing the elders to have to deal with some great problem in the church. He'll do all he can to disturb the peace among the people. So the lesson is, do all you can to keep the devil out. Endeavour to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Be at peace among yourselves, says the Apostle. God's word is just as relevant to us here as to the church at Thessalonica in the first century. Overlook a personal offence for the sake of peace. Encourage your elders. And one of the best ways you can do that is to do all you can to live a life consistent with your profession of faith. If there's an event you can go to in the church, go to it. Don't sit at home. If there's a service you could render, a gift you could use, render that service. Use that gift. That's so encouraging for the elders, and it's good for the spiritual health of the congregation. And the more you get to know the elders, the more you will be confident about approaching one or more of them when the day of trouble comes and you need some direction on a way forward. Elders are there to help and encourage and to give counsel which is right. So we've seen from these couple of verses three ways in which the congregation ought to respond towards the elders. Appreciate the elders, submit to the elders, and be at peace before the elders. As we ordain new elders today, pray especially for those men, Callum and James. Pray that God will use them for good in the session and in the congregation. Pray that through their gifts, session will be more efficient and effective in our service, and that the congregation will be better served as a result of all their labours. Pray that all the elders will be able to work together harmoniously. The devil would love to cause harm and divide, so pray that we all as elders will be united. And as we labour together with you in the Lord, pray that this congregation will know much spiritual blessing and see spiritual and numerical growth, all to the glory of God and to the extension of his kingdom. Amen. I would ask now if the congregation would please stand as we pray together. Let us pray. Our gracious God, our loving Heavenly Father, we give you thanks for your word. We thank you for its instruction to us. We thank you for the instruction to congregations and to elders within congregations as well. Lord, we pray that this congregation will know your grace and help as they respond to the election and to the ordination and installation of two new elders and to the present elders. Give us help, O Lord, to love one another. Grant grace and help to the congregation here to appreciate the elders, to submit to the elders, and to be at peace before the elders. We realize, O Lord, that the devil is always going about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. We pray for protection. Help each one here to live their life close to the Lord Jesus Christ, to know his power and grace, that the evil one may be kept at bay. And may your grace be upon us as a congregation, knowing your power and help in these evil days. We ask all of these things in the name of our Saviour and Redeemer, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.